Welcome back to Wisdom of the Weight Room, the podcast that takes wisdom from the weight room and brings it to your everyday life. When you're done listening to this week's episode, make sure you hit follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to this. Then hit that download button and then go share it with all your friends. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the show. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Whoa, that sounds loud. Welcome back to Wisdom of the Weight Room. I'm sitting here with a full-on celebrity, man. This guy was in the newspaper front page.
Yeah.
Big league in it now, man.
Yeah, I signed autographs that day.
That's pretty cool, man. So for anyone who doesn't know, Miguel had an article in the newspaper. It was really nice, by the way, but just about the gym and things like that. So Miguel, let's start right in there. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was awesome. So what happened was I reached out to, well, I had a member of the gym, Gene Burke, shout out to you, Gene, that wrote an article or wrote a paper on the gym itself and myself for one of his classes he's doing right now. And so I read that article or the paper, and it was really good. He's a very, very good writer. So Gene, yeah, man, you might have found something there. But so he wrote that, and I've been sharing it with everybody. And I'm like, you know what? This would be a good article to go into the paper so people could see what we're about. And so that gave me the idea. And so I reached out to Eric Pratt one night. I'm like, you know, like, maybe we're at the time right now where we can, you know, put us into the paper. We're ready for that, you know, get more people in. And so I had messaged him just via Facebook. And I said, hey, Eric, this is Miguel Secor. I was wondering, you know, if you'd be interested in this paper that I had written or that a member of our gym had written. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's funny you bring that up. We were just talking about writing a story on you this week or sometime. And so I'm like, perfect. So he had his photographer come out Friday of last week. And she took pictures of the gym and whatnot. And then he interviewed me on, I believe it was Monday night this past week. And he said the article would be out there this week. And then Wednesday went out. And it was, yeah, he did a very good job on the article. And I got a lot of good feedback from people. So it was cool. I always had wanted to be in the paper sometime in my life. I don't know why. I always thought it was cool, you know, like I'd never have been in the paper for anything. So like to be like the front section of the sports was pretty cool to see.
Did you know it was going to be front page? Of
no. I thought it was going to be like you open the page and it's like the next page, there'd be like short little snippet, you know, snippet of like what we were talking about.
Like
you know,
a corner piece in
the
bottom.
Yeah,
yeah,
not the whole thing. Yeah. And like that was, I'm like, dang, like. Yeah.
Do you save one of them? Get it
yeah,
framed up?
Well, that's funny you ask that. Andy Reed, shout out to you, Andy Reed, if you listen to this. He's going to actually get one framed for the gym.
Cool.
And so we'll hang it in the gym. So, yeah, man, it was kind of one of those things where it was kind of an unreal experience because it's like, I've been wanting to, you know, my arrogance has wanted me to, I wanted to be in the paper for a long time, you know, like. Not with the gym per se, but a lot of, you know, we've talked about like being a strength coach, you're always, nobody knows what you're doing. You're kind of under, you're behind the scenes.
Yeah. You just like to have the spotlight.
Yeah, just
and
once.
Not necessarily on yourself, just on
just
the whole process.
Thing. For everybody that's a strength coach, this is cool for them because we're unseen. Yeah. We're behind the scenes. We're the people that keep things going. You know, so it was, I always wanted to show people like this is what we do. You know, not necessarily what I do. You know, or what the gym does, but what strength coaches do and really what we're about, you know, our philosophies and kind of how we run the gym and whatnot. So, yeah, it was cool to see that. And I got a lot of people, you know, contacting us.
I was going to ask, that was my next question. How has like your impact on like, membership and like athletes?
So like membership wise, I've gotten contact by one person. Actually, I was going to ask you that.
For one, I don't think... That article is definitely more like, obviously, like group focused, athlete focused, of course. So I'm not sure you're gonna get a lot of people.
And I don't want,
like, hey, I want a membership here.
Yeah.
It's gonna be more like, hey, I want to train here as an athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
So what has that been? Has it like, increased at all?
So like that day, it was like nonstop. It seemed like just people were calling, texting, messaging about it. We've gotten two new kids so far. A family of three was gonna come by, and they haven't done that yet. an athlete from Southeast Valley is going to stop in sometime. So like that would be awesome because I don't have anybody from there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to help, you know, publicity wise, it's out there now.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out and whatnot. And, you know, we're ready for anything.
Yeah. So that was going to be my question on I don't even know if we've talked about this as a whole, but how has your training groups been? I think last time I've checked, obviously you've had maybe two athlete driven groups, right? You have like two age ranges in a sense.
Yes.
Is that staying the same? Is it growing? Are you going to need to...
I'm going to have to build, diversify like, a little bit.
What's the process like right now?
So like I need to sit down this week or today actually maybe and figure out my schedule for like the summer. We need right now I have a mix of middle school and elementary kids, which isn't ideal.
Yeah.
It's too hard. The middle schoolers that I have are too advanced for what the elementary kids are doing. So like what I did on Thursday was I had split them up kind of like middle school. The athletes I have, I trust them and I can still watch them, but they're doing something differently than the elementary kids.
Yeah.
So like my goal is to just have elementary and then I would have maybe like fifth and sixth grade, like middle school together. And then seventh and eighth would be a group. And I could potentially put some of the eighth graders in with the high schoolers if they're mature enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then a high school group.
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't know, man. It's so interesting to look at the maturity of these kids because fifth and sixth goes pretty well together. But then, like, the seventh graders that I have could go with the high schoolers. So I could potentially run middle school and high school together for the most of the middle schoolers I have. But then I have a few kids that are not ready to be into the high school group, you know, because if I get newer middle school kids, they haven't trained enough where some of the middle school kids I work with have been there since the beginning, practically. So over a year. So they could be put into the high school group, but then the high school group would be ginormous.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how I'm going to break this all up. I definitely want the elementary kids to be together. Like I have the youngest now I have is a seven-year-old.
Oh really?
Yeah. Little cute little dude. Like he is literally like that tall. And then I have an 8-year-old, and then it's 9, 10, 11, you know, it goes up from there. But I would like to keep those kids together, and then, yeah, probably 5th and 6th grade together, and then 7th and 8th, and if I need to move some of the 8th graders into the high school group, I've already been doing that, and they work well with the high schoolers because they're a little bit more mature, then I'll do that. And then, yeah, that's how I'm going to run it. I just haven't been able to because of my scheduling. With scheduling conflicts at the Iowa Central, whatnot, I've just kind of had to mesh everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be done with Iowa Central in April because they're done for the summer or at the end of this month, actually. So it'll be easier this May to kind of like spread things out and whatnot. And then when they get done with school, like the districts in June, it'll be summer.
Wide open.
Know? Yeah. And then I just got to figure out like, you know, how's it going to work this fall? You know, if I get super packed this summer, I don't know what I'm going to do this fall. You know, with Iowa Central in general, like, I'm going to have to figure it out, you know. So, it's been – this week has been good. I mean, it's just been steady flow. You know, we haven't had a dead week where I haven't gotten a new kid in. Every week we get one new person in, it seems like. So, it's just been – we're on the up. You know, maybe at some time we'll just – you know, plateau, but I just feel like the more people are seeing other kids, like the more we're posting pictures, parents are constantly, oh, I know that kid, you know, like my child's in that kid's same class or whatever. They're on the same team. We want to come to your gym as well. And then I'm going to be expanding here. I'm going to have to expand here.
Yeah. That was going to be my
next year. I mean,
I don't want to say it's not big bottleneck, but there is a little bit of a congestion. It's like a good congestion. I want to say that in a bad term.
Well,
but.
And like it's unfortunate because, you know, main time for members is like 4:30 to 6:30. Mm-hmm. And I have Tuesday, Thursdays. I have middle school and elementary at that time. But there's days where members aren't even in, you know, so it's like hit and miss. But like this summer, I want to be done with classes if I can. If kids can get there, I'd like to run like afternoon early classes. So like by 4 o'clock, everybody's out.
Yeah.
And then I'm done early. And then, yeah, it'll just kind of depend though on like parents' schedules.
Yeah.
I know that can get kind of hard, you know, everybody's working. But like I also, I don't know, I want to be done early at night. And I don't want to have it be congested, you know, with the members and whatnot. So I just got to figure out something.
Yeah, there's definitely a system that can be
put into place
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then I'm also going to have, you know, my intern is going to work a little bit too this summer, like part-time stuff when he can make it happen. And I think he'll end up being part of, you know, the gym at some point down the road once we get big enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the process we're thinking. So yeah, and I'm going to need it. Like right now, it's just, there's some groups where, you know, I got to figure out a process too with the new kids. You know, right now I just kind of, usually one person will work with them, the newer kids on movements, while the rest of the group is doing something else. But kind of that kind of sucks too, though. Like maybe it's my soft side where those kids see these other kids doing that stuff, and like it's like you got to re-motivate them. Like, okay, hey, like I'm only having you here because you have never done anything, or you know, like you will be over with them soon.
Yeah.
But I like to try to keep them all together as much as possible. So I might. I don't know. I haven't really thought about if I will run like a class just for beginners, you know, and then how far do you get into that? You know, like if you have elementary kids alone for beginner class, do you have middle school alone for beginner class? Do you have high school alone for beginner class? Like, and how often do you run that? Do you do that twice a week? You know, like ideally that would be, it should be like, I think the easiest way would be have, I don't know, man. I don't know. In my head, it's like, well, since new kids are coming every week, it's really hard to like, I don't like to say no. So like if you had kids, Brock, and you were like, okay, hey, Miguel, can I start, you know, is there any openings? I don't want to say, hey, wait until next month. Then the class starts for a month, you know, like, cause I want kids in now.
Yeah.
You know, you wait and something comes up. If I tell you come tomorrow, oh shit, then they're in tomorrow. And so I don't know how I'm going to, if I just will keep doing what I'm doing, where one coach will work with the new kids and then the other coach will take the other, you know, I don't know what's going to be the best scenario. Best scenario would be wait for every month, or I don't know, do something like that where you have a beginner's class, kind of like you did.
Yeah.
Your on ramp. But like the difference was like, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't like to wait for kids. Like I want them, they want to come, I want you there now. And so it's part of my own problem of setting it up that way, but I don't want to push kids away. Like a month, you know, if you came the second week in April and I told you, you have to wait another month because the next new class is 2 weeks from now, to me, like that's not, you could have started now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I'm going to do there. So far it's kind of worked. I mean, we've gotten through movements and whatnot. Nobody's gotten hurt, you know? So I think, if it gets absolutely packed, then I'll probably have to change it up. But getting one or two new kids a week has been okay and whatnot. But I think I'm going to have to get, you know, with Alec working or, you know, you've helped, I think I'll get to the point where I'm going to have more people.
Oh, you're going to need it.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next thing. Like you need, rising tide raises all ships, right?
Yeah.
And it's that like good, funny, I was reading that book again, Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And when we talk about like making or running away from problems, right? It's like you never can run away from a problem because your solution to one problem is going to create another problem somewhere else.
Yeah.
Kind of how you're talking about right now is like your solution of obviously training people or having like your solution was like, I want my own gym. I want my own place. I want my own thing to run its tight-knit engine that I want it to be. Like, I think you even had a quote in the paper about that. But therein lies now, again, problems are problems. And good problems, bad problems, all problems, whatever. But now the problems are relying on, obviously, logistics now. Like, we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
How am I going to run this in the way that I want it to, but it's also the way that makes sense and it's going to be like logistically proper. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And like going off of that, like you have to, I've been accepting of the problems that I knew I was going to be faced with.
Yeah.
I knew at some point I was going to get into the issue where we added on once. I knew we were going to have to add on again. I'm accepting of that. I just got to figure out the right time. I also knew we were going to grow at a fast rate. I had enough. Excuse me. I had enough confidence in myself that that was going to be a thing. So I was already preparing my mind for that, accepting that this was going to be an issue I was going to run into. Everything that has happened so far, every problem that has arose, I've been accepting of that beforehand.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a thing, so like I've been prepared for this. I knew I was going to need new coaches. I knew I was going to have to get more equipment. I knew I was going to have to expand. I knew I was going to have to figure out my class schedule. Like, it was just all stuff I knew. So it decreases the stress that I have with this gym. And I really don't feel that stress, you know, so it's been good.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think that's just life, man. The acceptance of the problems that are going to occur. Because like I said,
yeah,
the solution of one problem is a creation of another.
Yeah.
So it's like not running from a problem. Because you could easily be like, all right, I'm going to not bring these kids in. I don't need to add on. I don't need to do these things. Yeah. I'm just going to keep it the way that it is. And it might be fine. It might be my own little world. But there's going to be no growth there, no expansion, stress that is going to create adaptation, right?
Yeah.
Create change.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's been awesome, you know, to slowly see now the growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been cool to just see like, dang, like every week the wall gets one more person on the wall, you know, and that's like the visual that I need to see is like, wow. Like that just reminds me.
It's like a daily reminder.
Is like, okay. And people will come in and be like, wow, like that, this whole like group of kids was not here last week. I'm like, I know, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, holy crap, like, this is crazy, you know? And now where I'm going to have to figure out another wall, like, more area to go to.
Need to build a bigger boat.
I know. Yeah, and then when I expand, I'm going to have to move that wall out, and then I have to create a new wall. Like, oh, man, it's nuts. Mm-hmm. It's cool, man. It's been a great experience so far. There's going to be some more hiccups along the way, but I don't know. We're doing something, man. We have something special going on.
One thing I was going to bring up, I think Matt Springer brought this up to me when I first started at the high school, because I was just picking his brain on
Springer.
Yeah,
like how I just gave him a shout out. I haven't talked to that guy in a while.
I was like, I was just talking about him, like how to operate, how to like run big sessions.
Yeah,
you know, like I was just like asking him, like what would your process be? Like, how would you do it for high school athletes? And his advice, or his like. He was like, I obviously know you can't. Like, I didn't have any authority to, like, put any of this into practice. But
yeah,
it was just nice to know, like, because now I can regurgitate to you, basically. He basically said, he's like, yeah, I'd probably just run it like a CrossFit class to where you would have, yeah, like, your workout of the day or whatever. Obviously, you'd program it, like, how you program it. But just making it to where it's just logistically easier to, like, bring people in and flow through it because, like you were just saying, it's hard to tell someone to wait till next month when the program changes or like when we start a new cycle. Like, there's pros and cons to it. Obviously, like cycling programming is really beneficial and it's logistically well, but it's hard to bring new people into that process.
Yeah.
So a good kind of way to think about it, how I thought about it when he said that to me was, yeah, you have obviously like your daily workouts or whatever. Like, you're still going to program it how you want to program it for athletes, but you'd run it more in the sense of like probably having like tiers to it as well, to where, all right, we have, it's just like that infinite scalability of like you take that idea that CrossFit has of that infinite scalability and like you apply it into athletics where you have like, obviously your warm-ups is going to be probably pretty similar to everyone, but then like your main workout, you're like, all right, we're doing back squats today. But from there, you can build upon, like, tier one, like, your top-tier athletes. Like, all right, here's what we're doing. I don't know, for like whatever you want, 5x5, chains, bands, whatever. Like your top, your elites are doing your elite stuff. And then you have your middle tier. It's like, all right, you're going to do this variation to where there's multiple variations of the squat being applied per athlete, but they're still all squatting and squatting together and still in a group.
Yeah.
They're just doing it different.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard
thing. Yeah, no, I think that's...
Because I see, like, obviously when I saw it in the high school or if I see it out on social media, is I don't think anyone applies that enough of the scalability.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking it earlier, like I think like the old way of thinking about coaching was it's just like heavy weights. Like you just, you, every person has to be where the top person is in the group. And it's not that way.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to get hurt in that sense. Like, oh, you got to put on more weight. You got to, like, you got to be where this kid is because he's there now. It's like, no, you're here. He's there.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to work singularly, individually, but still as a group.
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, I kind of am doing that like with my young kids, like, or not even young, middle school kids. I had two kids come in Friday. And so I just had them do like, the hard thing is right now is every, I got to figure out, kids all come on different days. You know, like some kids are on 2 days a week, some kids are on 3 days a week, and some kids are on 4 days a week. So you might get, like my middle school group is normally Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But some of those kids also sometimes, if scheduling conflicts arise, they come in on Tuesday. So then now they're with these other middle school kids that haven't been in Monday. So, you know, like if my Monday, Wednesday, Friday kids are, let's say, I'm going to just throw out there, Jackson, he wrestles Seabolt, right? So he's not there on some days. It's really weird. Well, it's not weird. It's just scheduling. So, like, Monday he might be there. Tuesday he's going to be there. But, like, True and Jace don't come Mondays. So Jackson would not be doing the same thing that True and Jace are doing because he's already came a day.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, I got to figure out, like, how the heck to make that easier on myself. Like, I can do it. Like, I'm fine with this. Whatever. I just love it. I love this shit.
It sounds good. It also sounds a little unnecessary, too. Like...
Yeah,
you're definitely on the right path of, because like obviously you're brainstorming it right now as we speak.
Yeah,
of like, how do I fix this? Like, how do I make a solution of this? Because you are right. Like you can manage it, but like why?
Yeah, why?
If there's a better way. Yeah, if there's a solution out there, why not?
I just gotta figure out, like, I think what I'm gonna I think it'll be easier this summer.
Yeah,
because I can. The schedules, everybody's schedule should be easier, like the kids. So, like, I'll have, like, two-day kids come on the same 2 days.
Yep.
And then my three-day kids will always be on the same 3 days. And then my four-day kids will always be on the, you know, right now it's, like, school slash sports, you know, competitions. They're going during the week. A lot of the athletes have competitions during the week. So it messes things up. And I don't want to not have them come, like, for instance, like, Ty... He's in track right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have meets like randomly on random days.
Yeah.
So like it's trying to accommodate. I don't need to, but I like to. Everybody's schedules. And like there's, I'm, Brock, I'll tell you this. Like I'm good at like chaos. Like I'm good at like managing it. Is it the best way? No. And I really got to figure out a better way.
Yeah.
Because there's always a better way. I just haven't sat down because my schedule hasn't allowed me to sit down and really think about like, how am I going to run this summer? But like, even though I also am thinking past the summer, the fall starts back up. The schedules are going to be chaotic again because everybody's back in school. So I want to find a system. Like I like the tier, you know, where, but then I would also, you know, what would be awesome in an ideal situation is I have a coach for tier one, a coach for tier two, and a coach for tier three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you could be, you could say, okay, your coach at tier one is your, whoever wants to take the whoever likes to work with that, the first level. So tier two would be a little bit more complicated and tier three would be very, ideally that would be amazing. Like that would be how you would do it. Like, okay, so Monday we're going to squat. Tier one, you're goblet squatting. Tier two, you might be front squatting with a barbell. Tier three, you're back squatting with bands.
Yeah.
You know, like... And then have it like that. I think the other thing that I'm really like too is actually running a program where each athlete has a sheet.
Yeah.
Not like the elementary kids because they're not going to understand it, but like my top level, like the seventh and eighth grade middle schoolers and then your high schoolers, they have a program now where, okay, for the next 4 weeks, you know what you're doing every day. I haven't done that, so it's been more thinking in my own brain. Mm-hmm. But like I tried to do it for a couple weeks and it was just too much, like, because I had too many questions and I couldn't like run it. We couldn't get it through anything because it was like, Miguel, like, what is it? Blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to stop. Like, I'm just going to wait until the summer. We'll make it until the summer or even like this May. I'll be able to sit down like over the weekend and program out for the kids where this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll make it everything easier too.
Have you ever thought about going like digital?
Yeah, but like, okay, so like digital in the sense of like off an iPad or like
that,
what are you thinking?
Or like, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about like running it like a CrossFit class, because you basically like have the workout of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, like everyone's, it shits on that term, but
yeah, yeah.
just roll with me here. You'd have your workout for that day.
Okay.
And whether you have it up on a board or have it up on a monitor.
Yeah.
And
how do you track your weights?
That's just it. You'd probably have it to where, like, you could probably have a big monitor in the gym.
Okay.
And I know every kid's different, but most kids have their own damn phones. It's a hard process to grasp, I think, because everyone's like, I don't want to, like, put on my phone. You could easily have it to where, all right, everyone, kids have your sheets, like, that they can track their stuff. But you'd have a monitor up, like, all right, you can go, like, everyone go up to the monitor, and maybe you could have your percentages. It all depends on what like you're gonna run for data, right?
Yeah.
But just from a logistics standpoint of like, all right, here's your monitor with your workout and stuff. That way, like, we can all come to it and look, and you could talk it.
See it.
Yeah. You can see it on the board or on the monitor. Talk it through. Like, hey guys, and again, kind of maybe going back to that tier process. We're back squatting today. My tier ones, you're gonna be doing it this way. Maybe at this percentage. After this, come to the monitor. And because again, there's software out there that has all that shit. Like, you don't need to make fucking cheats anymore, basically.
Yeah.
They can come up and like, I can, like Ty Adams, I can put his name in. His profile pops up, has all his data, his back squat numbers, his bench numbers, whatever. So you could tell him, like, hey guys, if he's in tier one, he is back squatting with a box, like box back squatting. At 85%. And rather than constantly kind of like working through sheets or whatever, you probably have it. And you could even set it up to, I'm kind of like going all over the place here, but like if you tell them like, hey, maybe look at the workout we're going to be doing tomorrow, maybe get your numbers kind of ready. I'm kind of thinking more high school level here.
Yeah,
obviously
yeah.
Elementary, that's not going to be thrown out, but I think they have somewhat of that responsibility on them to, be able to process that. Like, hey guys, tomorrow we're back squatting. We're going to do it at this numbers. Maybe calculate your numbers out, or you could obviously have them if you want, but kind of just going back to, I think it's like just using software. I don't think not a lot of strength coaches or coaches in general are using it to the degree I think they could.
Yeah. I got to find the right software.
You do. Yes.
I got to look. I don't even know where, like, I don't even know where, you know,
and I just always had that thought again, going back to running it like a CrossFit gym. Cause that's kind of, obviously, the methodology people can talk about, but I think from a logistics, there's a lot of positive there because, again, you bring everyone in as a unit, you talk it over, and then you can go through demo, you can do whatever.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of there for people to retain and grasp rather than kind of just saying it.
Yeah.
I'm a visuals guy, so that's probably why I gravitate towards that method, though, too, because I like seeing shit.
Yeah.
But that's just a thought.
Yeah, I got to figure out something. That's something that I'm going to have to definitely be thinking.
And I think so too. I'm a big logistics guy. I like numbers. I'm bad at math, but like, I don't know. I just the tangibility of it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like you said, I think we're different in that regard. Cause you're always like, I embrace the chaos and I'm like, I fucking hate the chaos. Like I'm not in between the lines kind of guy, but in the certain, like when it's warranted, I need it almost. It's like an OCD.
Yeah.
It's like an OCD thing to me. It's like, we can't, why can't we do it like this? Because it's But again, that's just to each his own. Like, I'm not saying you're doing it wrong. I'm just saying.
No, I just.
That's
I got,
just how I operate.
Yeah. And I got so really good at it.
Yeah. And I admire you for that. Like, I wish I could operate in a chaotic state like that.
Yeah.
I just. I need it to be like
I know
finally tuned.
Yeah. I know. Like I think like Alex struggles with my mind because I'm like I can I would probably struggle with it too.
Roll
like,
with the punches.
Yeah, man. I could just do things on the fly all the time, and it's because Iowa Central made me that way.
Yeah,
and not in a bad way. It's just
probably it's a great tool to have for sure.
It is because like I don't get like frazzled with anything. You know, if somebody gets hurt, somebody. You know, like, nobody really gets hurt, but, like, if somebody, like, actually, like, does get hurt, doesn't mess me up, we just keep rolling. Like, I mean, like, okay, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to deal with your problem, but I got everybody else, too. Like, I mean, like, this is easy. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just how there I've learned how to, like, manage 150 guys at one time by myself. Like, that's chaos. You know, like, that makes 10 kids I work with doing different. They could all be doing 10 different movements. Can I coach it? No, you could argue and say, like, can you coach it the best way, Miguel? No, but I can make sure they don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could still teach them what they need to know. I can give you your weights and give him his weights because that's what I've done at Iowa Central. Like, it's bad and good.
Yeah.
You know, there's not, it's not,
like anything. Like,
it's not ideal.
If you look at mine, like, you can get too logistical with it to where, like, I've worked through that. I could say I've gotten better at it. I could get better at it, though, too. You could always get better.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's being too much into the numbers. There's being too much into the
like
logistics of it.
Stress you out a little bit too.
Stress you out, or like when I was first starting into this, like when I was at the rec,
yeah.
People would say like you just. Again, I like to explain, and sometimes I explain to an extent to where it's like let's just shut up and do it. And I've learned from that, you know. Like when I first started out at the rec, that was like a big. We'd have like our quarterly meetings or whatever,
yeah.
And they're like, yeah, like we. And again, there's pros and cons to it because they're like, it's great because you're trying to provide a lot of substance, but you're taking time away from what people want and they want to work out.
Yeah.
So I work through that to where it's like, now it's finding that balance of, hey, I need to explain this to you. I'm not going to say, hey, this go squat and like, give you like piss poor cues.
Yeah.
But I don't want to overcue at the same time to where like all I'm doing is talking and lecturing and like we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So there's a plus and a minus to all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's figuring out what you're good at, continuing doing it, but then working on the stuff that you're not as good at to add into your coaching.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's there's always constant growth where you have to figure out, okay, if this isn't working well enough, how do I make it work better? And sometimes, like, people don't even notice when it is chaos. You know, like, they don't notice what, like, when you're, like, frazzled or, like, when you're like, oh, shit, like, I don't have control of this.
Yeah.
You know, but you know.
You just gotta
pivot.
Know,
like, yeah, oh, shit, pivot. Like, this isn't working. I gotta, we gotta switch this out. Like, I had that moment last Thursday. Oh, my gosh. Tuesday, Thursdays are challenging sometimes because it's just, like, the age gap difference. I gotta let it be. It is what it is, Miguel. But like we were doing movements and I finally was like, you know what? Allie was working with the younger kids, which has been great, on movements and whatnot, where I take the older kids. But we got to the point where we did the circuit together. Cause usually like the movements during the circuit, even if you are new, I can show you how to do them with either no weight or lightweight and you're going to learn it. Well, it was, I let them do like the first round on their own and it was a mess. It was a complete mess. And it was like, okay, the ship's sinking. So I'm like, you know what? Okay, everybody time out real quick. This is not working. Let's do this together. So then we just did it on a
count.
Yeah. On a hit or a pause. And it was a lot better.
Yep.
And then I'm like, well, duh. Like it was like a dumb moment for myself. I'm like, why would you think this would work, Miguel? Like, what were you thinking? Like, I had that moment, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I've been coaching for how long, and you just didn't think about doing this? Like, you're an idiot. And then, I'm like, you know, that second and third round, we're good.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of funny, like, when you diss yourself, when you're like, oh, my gosh, why did I do it like that? Or why didn't I not think about this when I normally would do this on a cadence?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just your mind's not there at the time, and you're not thinking logically, and You got to figure it out.
You might have too much confidence in your kids. You're like, oh, they can
do this.
And then it's like, nope,
they cannot do this.
But now you know. Now it's like, all right, now I need to be more structured in this sense.
Yeah.
To whereas if you're always structured, you'll never know when the point comes to where you can trust them.
Yeah.
Like if you're always thinking like, we're always going to do this way.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll never know what the abilities could be or possibly.
Yeah. The nice thing too is when you have Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I have some of the high school kids, like four kids come in with my gentleman's club. So I have three guys in the gentleman's club and those three guys are doing something different than the four kids. So like I space them out where three guys are together, four kids are together. But you know, they're doing completely different workouts,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's when I get groups that are together that are all doing the same thing. It's like, wow, this is cake.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is so easy. Like, I don't even think. So like, it's nice like to have that where you have different things going on where you have to think about it, because when it's just like everybody's doing the same thing, everybody's on the same movement. What the fuck is this? Like, this is amazing. Like, this is so easy. So yeah, I don't know. It all works out in the end.
Yeah. I was going to ask this before, so let's kind of circle back to it. When you were talking about kind of with like your certain age groups that you're going with,
yeah,
have you found it or have you thought about what it is? Because you were like, maybe these kids are mature enough to go with the older kids.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought it backwards? Like, what is the effect going to be on the older kids with, like, young can the young kids be with the old kids?
So,
because I look at it as are the senior, like, if you have a couple of seniors in, like, are they going to be, like, of course they're going to be admirable in the sense of, like, they'll be leaders and stuff, but I just look at it as, like, are they going to be, like, frustrated at all, or is there going to be a moment to where it's like, all right, maybe the older kids have to be as old as this in order just to keep like a mesh of either intensity or mindset or anything like that.
Yeah.
What's that process?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Because
you So why I bring that up is because I kind of saw it when we did the Edge program at Anytime. Was like once we got into a broad range, it was almost like your tier ones, I like to call them, like top tier guys. Like they almost feel like, not that they're getting less out of it, but like, I don't want to say it's like the Disney Channel to them either, but there's just that little bit of like maybe they shouldn't be with that young of people because they might feel like they're just.
That's what I see happening Tuesday, Thursdays, and it's nothing against the kids.
Yeah. I
finally decided to separate my three middle school kids that are seventh graders because they're pretty far along on the lifting. No, there's four of them. They've been with me for quite a while because it got to be unfair for them to do what the rest was doing.
Yeah.
You know, so like I just separated them. Now, I wish if I could, and I know it's scheduling conflicts, so it's nothing against them and I make it work with anybody, but I would have them come in at a different time.
Yeah.
I would throw those four boys in with high school because they're ready for it. And they've done it once or twice and they hung with them really well and they're mature enough.
Yeah.
Even like my little elementary kids are pretty dang mature. Like I think, you know, what helps though, and like it's like, that was a great question because I can really try to talk about this. You see these, and I wouldn't do it all the time, but like these little kids see these seventh grade dudes who are maturing, going through puberty, and they're like, they really like to see that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it helps them mature. Mm-hmm. Like I've thrown a couple boys in, two fifth graders in with like the high school kids a couple times, and they're completely different. They don't mess around.
Yeah.
They don't talk and they compete. And like, that's the thing I look at the kids. Like when we talk about high school, I don't allow any middle schoolers to go in the high school group unless I feel they are able to handle the high schoolers.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair to the high schoolers, but also it might make the middle schoolers compete a little bit harder, you know? But I think it's also good for the high schoolers to have these middle schoolers in because then, you know, it makes them work harder. It gives them that leadership role. Yes. You know, dude, I can you imagine being in middle school working with a senior in high school? No, I can't. Like, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I would have been like, shut the hell up, Miguel. Like, just train. Like, I would have been like, I don't know, man. Like, that would have been the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're getting these opportunities. Now you could go a step further when I get my college athletes in. Now you have college athletes with high schoolers, which now that these high schoolers and the college kids, now these high schoolers are, okay, they act a little bit different.
Yeah.
And now they're around the big dogs. Like, this could be you. But I try not to do it unless I know the kids are ready.
Yeah.
Unless
it's definitely like a double-edged sword.
It
for
is.
Sure.
It is, because you don't want to take away. But I haven't seen it in the high school group, really. I haven't seen any middle school. Like, the middle schoolers that are in the high school group can hang with the high schoolers. The elementary kids, obviously, some of them conditioning-wise can hang, but they're just not as technical,
yeah.
You know? And so that's a little bit more where I'm like, okay, I want to make this as fair as possible. But like going back to the summer, it's going to be separated where I'm not going to mix. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll mix the middle school and high school, but I'm not going to mix elementary with middle school. It's just not fair to the elementary. It's not fair to the middle school. Now, if I do have a problem, though, with a kid, let's say a discipline problem, I'm like, okay, well, you're going to act this way. I'm putting you with the high schoolers, because I guarantee you're going to stop acting like that. And I want you, and I want to show you, I tell them this, I want to show you how they train, you know? And so they train differently. They don't talk, you know, they don't, I mean, they do, but like they're more serious about their training. And with those kids getting around those older kids, then they can start seeing that. And then I can have those conversations afterwards and say, hey, do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see how undisciplined you are? And then now you see how disciplined they are. And it just, you have to know your kids. And so I'll do that at times where I think they need to be put into their own place, and the older kids will show them that, you know, just by them just being more mature and whatnot. And yeah. I can see it helping. So, I mean, I won't do it all the time.
Yeah.
But like I said, you have opportunities to do a lot of different things with all these age groups. And it can help different kids in different ways with having these older kids. Right now, I don't think, besides Jalen and Tori, I don't have any seniors. Those are only two seniors I have. Oh, Eli is a senior too.
Yeah.
But that's it. Everybody else is sophomores. I don't think I have any juniors right now. So I would like to get like more high school kids overall.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, like, you know, freshman and sophomore year, a little bit more immature.
Yeah.
So like most of my high schoolers are like that way. We're like Jalen and Tori and Eli. You can see that maturity is in them as seniors.
Yeah.
And like your eighth grade and your seventh grade, you even see like there's a difference from seventh grade to eighth grade. Like, yeah,
there's a divide for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a growth spurt happens of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wondered that because, yeah, it's definitely something you do have to balance. Because like you said, there's a positive outlet of it of like, okay, these younger kids are going to be able to adapt and evolve and like take away good positive things from it. But you don't want that to be too lopsided to where, yeah, you have a couple seniors that are like, what is this?
This is a joke.
Fucking Mickey Mouse house? Like, mm-hmm, what are we doing in here? Mm-hmm. So you definitely have it well wrapped of, yeah, mm-hmm, balancing enough to where it's not totally lopsided, yeah, and they can all kind of get something out of,
yeah,
it. Yeah, like the older kids can build good leadership qualities, yeah, and things like that, and the younger kids can obviously grow, yeah, and learn from those older kids.
And you know what I'll do too is like I'll assault the kids, the older kids. Hey, how do you feel if I throw these kids in with you? You know, I think they're ready, but this is your time. If you're okay with this, then let me do this. If you're not, I need you to know as a consensus, talk to me, because then you're giving them the opportunity to make a decision as a group, like saying, okay, no, we don't want this, or okay, we will allow this. And that gives them choice. Yeah. Giving them choice gives them a little bit more, I don't know what the word is. I don't know.
Ownership.
Yeah. Of what they're doing. And yeah, kids
they feel
need
a part of it.
You make that decision where it's not you making the decision. It's them.
Yeah.
It was interesting. This kind of going off subject a little bit, but like I have a girl that I don't know. I think she just stopped coming. I don't know. She's a freshman, and you know, I brought it up to my volleyball team at Iowa Central, and I said, "Hey, this girl's a great athlete. She's been with me for 2 weeks. She stopped coming. She's struggling in school a little bit. If you could give her advice, what would you tell her?" And I know what I would. You know, like
I know what I would tell her.
Yeah.
But I wanted these girls to have the opportunity to think about like how they were at that age, because a lot of them reminded me of this girl.
Yeah.
And it gave them an opportunity to have ownership and like some voice.
Yeah.
And so like it was a cool like time, because pretty much every girl on the team spoke about what they would say to this girl. And at the end of that conversation, what I said was like, this is what I've been trying to show you all year. You have a voice. You have purpose. You can do more than you think you can, and you're helping somebody else, you know, and then you all are giving this great advice. Now use this advice.
Yep.
Use this advice for your own self. It was cool. I mean, it was off the subject, but it's going back to like allowing them to talk and whatnot.
That's yeah. What I do about. Like how you build your athletes up in a sense of ownership and control.
You have to.
Because, yeah, that's definitely a good quality.
I think, like, one of the bad qualities of coaching is coaches don't allow their athletes to have ownership. They don't allow them to have say. When you give athletes ownership and say, they start to respect you more. Because now their voice matters.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times coaches are like, you do this, you do that, you do this my way or the highway, blah, 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 blah. They have no say. And, I mean, I don't give them a say all the time.
Yeah.
But I'll ask, hey, you know, what do you guys want to do today for your you know, your circuit? You know, their main lift's always going to be the same. But, like, or, like, how do you want to do your conditioning? This is your options. This is what we're going to do. You pick.
So you contain them. You're just like, hey, no.
Within the parameters of this.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll feel nice and I'll be like, you know what? You guys decide. And then I'll either say.
Sound like a Friday or something.
That's not a good idea. Or, okay, do you understand like what you said and how that would not be okay? So I'm giving them an opportunity to make choices, but I'm teaching them along the way.
Yeah.
And I see really good growth with that. And you have to see that. You have to have those moments where they're teaching moments, but it's like they don't realize you're teaching them something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hidden teaching moment. And then you're like, ah, yes, this is good. I see them thinking. I see them making good choices. And then that's part of you. You've become part of their choices and their decisions, and you're part of that growth. So, yeah, I like to do that quite a bit. You know, I read that. I read that somewhere, and I don't remember where. And I've always tried to use that in my coaching with all the athletes I work with, even some of the clients or, you know, that I personally train and whatnot. So,
nice.
Yeah.
All right, kind of maybe last a little bit and then get out of here. So, obviously, C-Core strength's growing at a massive rate. What's maybe your outlook? I don't want to say, like, what's your five-year plan? That's dumb.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of what's your outlook? Because I know you said, obviously, this whole thing came up of, like, you just needed a place to train. That's how it all started, and now it's evolved into this. Where do you think the next step's going to be? Do you find yourself gravitating more towards the athletic side of things? And is it going to be something to where you maybe, I'm not saying that's all you're going to do, but maybe it's something you focus on more. Are you going to try to, maybe this is what I'm trying to say. Are you going to try to keep balancing two sides of the coin of members and athletes? Are you going to gravitate more towards one? What's it look like?
Yeah. Members, not so much. I don't know. There's somebody that called me that I was going to ask you about if you knew him. I'm not going to say it on here, but I'll ask you about that after this. But yeah, so I, in the beginning, there's some gyms that I had to pick up some equipment like a month and a half ago, Des Moines Barbell, pretty cool place set up. I went in there and checked it out. I talked to the owner a little bit and I asked him how many members he has. He has like 250, and they pay
just legit like a member.
Members.
They come in,
yep.
And they
train.
Use the place.
That's it. And they pay like 65-70 a month.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, and like he's making a lot of money off of them.
Yeah,
which is awesome. I mean, like so, but I don't. He doesn't train athletes like this. I mean, they have like people that they train. Like,
yeah, but he's it's a commercial gym.
Yeah, yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that because I don't want to have the headache of, I just don't know what people's background are in training.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not the fit. I just don't want them to get hurt. There's a lot of reasons I don't want that. So like, I'm not really, when people ask, unless I kind of know who you are and your background, I'm going to
say probably this isn't for you. And then I'm running into the problem where there's so much congestion,
yeah.
you know, like where it's not fair to the members. And, you know, if you are a member, you have to understand like this is kind of like, I don't know what the term. I allowed you to, you know, like I want you there 100%, yeah. but this is also like, I got to grow the gym, and growing it is by the athletes.
Yeah.
So I also don't want to lose members. I like everybody that I have there. They're part of the gym. They're part of this whole growth. They're going to see how big this place is going to get. It's going to get massive. But I'm not pushing that. I'm more focused on sports performance,
mm-hmm.
on training athletes. I think that's where my energy is going to be. People ask what it is. I say it's a sports performance gym.
Yeah.
It's for athletes. And then, like I said, if I have people that ask that want to be members, then I have to talk to them and get a feel for what they're really wanting. And then I decide if they're going to be a good fit or not.
Yeah.
And usually I just don't think it will be, because they can go to a commercial gym and get what they want from it rather than coming in, you know, to this gym. And yeah, you know, it being on private property, that's a whole nother can of worms that I don't want random people that I don't know. Because it is on private property, because it is where my mom's house is, because it, you know, I can't trust people.
No.
You know, so, and I don't charge an arm and a leg for memberships either. So it's not, you know, you want to look at a business standpoint, it doesn't make money.
Yeah.
If I was charging $60, $70 a month, that would be different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot different. And when people hear $32.10, they're like, whoa, that's really cheap. Yeah, it is, you know, but I don't have a lot of people either.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't want a lot of people.
No. Yeah.
I would say, I'm not telling you to do anything, but if it was me, I would probably, yeah, I'd pick one.
Yeah.
And it's not to be like, oh, I don't want to like lose the members that you have. But yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of like at any time like that, the problem you ran into, right, is like you felt not like you were like pushing the corner.
Yeah.
Metaphorically speaking and literally.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's hard to favor two sides of that,
you
right?
Can't. I can't make you happy and make my athletes happy.
No.
It's got to be one or the other. And where we're at with members.
There's a crossroads for sure.
We're good.
Yep.
And I always try to keep things separated. If I can do it right now where, okay, you need a rack, perfect. Boom. Yeah. Let's move over and I can put everybody together. And that's part of me running my business, is I want to keep you happy. I want to be able to train the athletes. And as we grow, it's going to even be easier because I won't be adding a lot, you know, members, but I'll be able to have more space.
Yeah.
You know?
I was going to ask too, are you going to like, if you
separate?
Yeah. Maybe have like,
I've thought about it,
a section to where it's like, hey, this is like the membership section.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's kind of a corny thing to say, but
yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
It's like logistically speaking, like, hey, this little nook is where you can come at any time of the day. This is going to be available to you.
Yeah.
When there's not groups going on, you can use anything and everything you want.
Yeah.
But if there is a time that there's a lot of traffic of athletes, there still might be a spot for you that you can come.
Yeah.
That way you're not deteriorating your members from like not showing up, or like, hey, like I can't work out here ever. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like that's obviously a problem that could occur.
Yeah.
So if you did have
I would like to have like all my racks. I'd like to have essentially, I think I have 2, 4, 6, 8. I'd like to have 18 to 20 racks front and back.
Okay.
And I'd have all the athletes on the first 10, all the members on the last 10. And then I would have all the dumbbells and, you know, I'd have enough dumbbells where I could have dumbbells on the one side where the members are, dumbbells on the other side where the athletes are, where it's spaced out. And then machines would be kind of over by more by the members because I don't use them as much with athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would never be in each other's space.
Yeah.
You know, where you would be happy and they'd be happy and I could coach. And where I could, it would be big enough where I'll ultimately dream it could be big enough where I don't have to turn on the music to coach, where they're far enough away where members could do their
thing.
I think
it's just known too. It's like, it's kind of like when you go into any time, like their functional training section is for their classes.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to work out there, you can, but like you just have to abide by the group.
Yeah.
And like, obviously there's going to be times when the music's quiet because they're coaching, and it's going to be really fucking loud when they're not. And you just kind of have to realize that. Yeah. So I think that's the same with you. So if you do have members coming in, they just have to like be aware of that. And it's one of those things like, hey, if it ain't for you, it ain't for you. Like if you need a place that at no matter what point in time, like you have access to things.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. Here. It's part of the process. Yeah, like, it's part of like, okay, so you came, you know, and this was what it was when we started and now we're here now. We've grown. If you're still okay with that, I want you here. And I want you to stay here. I want to retain everybody that's there. I want all my members to stay because each one of them has a purpose in the gym, you know? And so I don't want to lose anybody. But then also I hope the other side that they're understanding of like what we're doing, you know, like I want you to be part of the growth and the expansion and see how big this is going to get. But understanding like, yeah, I got to turn down the music. With the space we're in, like I'm going to be using some of it. Like this is what it is. Like, yeah.
So. It's funny you say that. Like, I think you have to realize like, yeah, like you just can't please them all. Right.
You can't.
It's going back to that book that we keep talking about, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. There's a quote that it says, you can't be a world changing presence for someone without being an absolute joke to someone else.
Yeah.
It is physically not possible. So if you think you're the shit to every single person, you're highly
wrong.
Highly wrong right there. And that's just it too. So like I'm slowly coming to the realization of that. Because I have been a person that's like, I kinda want like people to like think of me like highly. But that, I mean, that quote, like I say it to myself every day. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to be, I really like bold letters, world changing. Like if you want to change someone's life, you in retrospect are also going to be like a total joke to someone else. Someone is going to laugh at you. Someone's going to think you're an absolute joke and you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have that without having the other thing.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
if you want to change one person, you have to be a joke to somebody else. Because you, like, ultimately you are.
Yeah.
Whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because people have their own opinions and their own thoughts. And some people, like, not everyone likes you.
No.
So you have to just swallow that. And then that way, the people that are important, you can really be a life-changing presence to them.
For sure. Yeah, I like that.
Boom. Let's end on it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we should be next week.
Yep. See ya.
Actually, I don't know if we will be next week. It's Easter.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we won't be next week.
Hey, we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's going to be it for this week's episode of Wisdom of the Weight Room. Remember what I said at the beginning of the podcast? Hit that follow button on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Hit that download button and then go share it with all your friends and family. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.